What I would like to do first is I would like us to all go around.
Thanks.
Which, do you need this?
Yeah.
And if they come in, there we go. Is what I'd like to do first is I'd like to go around and have you introduce yourself and tell me why you wanted to come to this class. Come in. So, we're going to start with you.
I'm Liz Mason.
I am grateful for that. Okay, just take this around, then everybody can do it.
You have to do it again.
No, I don't.
No, she doesn't.
My name is Crystal Gay, and I came to the class because I really liked your presentations. But this also interests me because I've been told I need to date from the Lord.
Oh. My name is Kim Hamilton. I came to this class because of the presenter, but also because of the subject matter. I've been in situations with blended families, and looking to the future, I want to know kind of how to prepare for that better if I were to be in that situation again.
My name is Jennifer Hornberger, and just came for the information to have on hand in case that ever happens.
I'm Teresa McGregor, and I am dating someone, getting kind of serious, so I have 3 kids at home, so I kind of thought I'd better come.
Good idea. My name is Casey Gage, and I came to this class because I thought you may be able to teach me something in a patient way, because I've been known to react defensively when it comes to someone telling me that I could do it another way with my children that could possibly benefit them and us better, and I didn't react very well. So I thought maybe I could learn something in a more positive way from a priesthood holder that's not dating me.
No pressure.
I can't be offended that way, you know?
I'm Brenda Despain. I was married after my first husband died, which ended in divorce, and children were not the reason for it, but I would, in case I am remarried again, I would like to know how to blend the kids all together.
Then we can also expand, right?
Yep. Yes.
There we go. Throw them, shove those chairs back.
Okay, I'm Carrie Salisbury.
And I'm Troy Salisbury.
And we just got married in December. Okay.
Just expanded.
Oh, expanded. You guys are so nice. Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
Pass those around so those guys can get it.
Okay. All right, so like we said, we were just married in December after our spouses passed away. So that's why we are here to just get more ideas on how to blend our families better.
Five teenagers.
Yeah. It's great.
That's an awesome household.
Go back to them.
Oh, well, what's your name and why did you come to this class?
I'm Janet Downey, and this is Jacob. And we're getting married in July, and we're blending 8 kids. Ages 6 to 13. So we really need this class. Any help we can get.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Oh, we can.
Are we going that way?
We came for the same reason.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, I came for the same reason. Lots of kids. So 5 and 3 bringing together. So.
Yeah.
No, I'm.
No,
nope.
He actually.
I wanted to be here too. I'm the one that registered us.
We have like Travis Tritt's voice. Is it Travis Tritt, the country singer?
Oh. Any voice.
Josh Turner guy.
Josh Turner, somebody.
All right.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'm Leslie Hoffland, and I hope, like Jennifer, to someday blend families. But by then, my kids will probably all be out of the house.
Same here. Jen Anderson, and I might date sometime and meet somebody, so I kind of want to get a heads up.
Marcy Perkins, Todd Perkins, but he can do his own thing in a minute. We got married last year and blended our families. Our spouses passed away both in 2015 from cancer. We have one together, and then we each have two from our previous marriages, so she's number five. And we definitely need this help. Yes.
I'm not sure what else to say. That's everything. It's fun. Very interesting.
It's fun, and it's hard, and it's interesting. Oh, great. How's that? All right. Everybody here okay? All right. So a couple of things first. We have a couple that are married. We have some that are engaged. How many of you want to be remarried someday soon, and maybe not even soon, but someday? So can I break it down and let me talk to all of you at the same time? Would that be okay? Only I do have to give little segments first, if I can do that. Okay. For those of you that want to date and that you want to go forward and you want to be able to have a marriage again, which I'm glad that you do, the very first thing I want to say to you is what I'm about to tell you, please do not get discouraged. Okay? For those of you that are married, don't become hopeless. For those of you that are engaged, don't even think about being hopeless, okay? And then we will get to you too. We'll try to get all of you in on this. Now, the very first thing that you have to look at, okay, is that you go down this road and the likelihoods of you going and marrying somebody without any children is pretty close to zero. I'm just going to be honest. Every now and again that might happen, that you might find somebody that's your age that hasn't been married. And if that happens, blessed be the day. That's a wonderful thing. For the rest of you, though, realize that it's one of those things that when they talk about blending families, if your children are young, and I don't know how young your children are. Can you give me age groups? 13 to 6. Okay, your 13-year-old's right on the border. The older the child, the harder it is to blend. So know that. Okay, your children are?
Our oldest is 8 and our youngest is 3.
Well, yeah, and so realize that you've got a whole lot easier job than what these guys will have. For those of you that are older and you've got teenagers, it's a lot harder. If you wait, and a lot of people do wait until their kids are older and out of the house, then it's really, really hard to blend those families. And so for those of you that wait until after, it takes about 22 years to blend families. Okay, the younger the children, like yours, not really a long, long period of time, 3-4 years. For you guys, it might be 7 to 10. But to have a family that what you classify as normal, the reality is the older the children, the harder it is to blend the families. Now, let me... Yes.
Well, once they get to a certain age, it probably doesn't matter that much, does it?
When well,
Thanksgiving, well, it does matter. I guess
it,
if you're family.
Yes, it does matter. Grandkids. The hard part is that for the kids, they don't want it, and it doesn't matter. But for the mom and the dads, you guys are a little bit easier with it, but the moms, yeah, I want my kids there. And the dads... You know, I can understand that they got the lies and they're going forward and doing that sort of thing. But the reality is that it takes time and it takes effort. And the moms are always wanting. And the older the kids, the harder it is. Now, for those of you that have just teenagers, okay.
14 to 19.
14 to 19, okay. Oops, come in. We can circle the wagon. Push the chairs back.
Sorry.
Drag. No, don't be sorry.
So
grab
sorry.
Some. No, don't be sorry, please. But because of that, there is a ritual that you have to go through.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, ritual you have to go through to belong to the class is they have to tell us why they decided to come to this.
There you go, my dear. Okay. All right, I'm on. Oh, okay, hold on. Just a second. Okay, so... Why did I decide to come here? Emily, I forgot my tag. Sorry. And I decided to come because I'm just dating, and I just wanted to see what's ahead, I guess. Okay, thanks.
And I tried to tell her what's ahead, but she's not listening.
I'm not really listening to her.
So I was widowed 4.5 years ago, and at the 2-year mark, I remarried. And as I listened to the talk by the Hills yesterday morning about how the death was the hardest thing and the blending was second hardest, I say, no way. No, the blending is the hardest for me. I have 5 bonus kids in addition to my 3 own.
And how old?
Well, when we got married, we had 6 kids at home out of 8. So he has a 23-year-old, 21, 20-year-old. Yay, he's on a mission and he's a good kid. no drugs, no anything. The 2 older ones have those issues. 18-year-old is mine. Out of this, there's 2 girls and 6 boys. So he has a 16-year-old girl, and my daughter is almost 16, same age, same grade. That's where the hell comes in. And then we have a 14-year-old boy and an almost 12-year-old boy. And it's the wildest ride I've been on. So you just got way too much information.
All of these folks are saying, bless you, because that's not me. Okay. So back to what we're talking about. So realize that the older, for you guys, you have to understand it's really, really hard to blend them. And if they, you know, that is if they don't want to be blended. If they want to be blended, it's okay. But if they don't want to be blended, it's really, really, really hard to do. And as they get older, then it becomes even more difficult to do. Okay? Now, with that said, don't anybody be discouraged. Now, for those of you that are dating, okay, well, actually, for all of you, but those that have already married, okay, there's some things that I specifically want you to do. And then we'll talk about those of you that are already married and you're trying to raise them and do that sort of thing. Now, the very first thing to do, those of you that are marrying and want to date, is that you want to first go out and you want to find somebody with the least amount of drama in their lives. You want to go out and find those with the least amount of baggage. Okay? Now, the problem is that widows and widowers, you have this little problem. The problem is that you've lost your spouses. And because you've lost your spouses, you've also learned how to be codependent caretakers. You're all looking at me like, huh? What's a codependent caretaker? Even if they did. What's a codependent caretaker? Nobody knows? Let me give you a definition. A codependent caretaker is the person who takes care of others. When you lost your spouse, guess what immediately you fell into? You had kids, and you're taking care of them, and you got to rescue them, you got to save them, you got to do, and even though this will sound strange to you, because of that virtue of being the only parent and having to do taking care of those things, you actually begin to pride yourself in being able to do what you had to do all by yourself. Reality is nobody else was stepping in to help you. You were the only ones, even though they tried in the beginning, they thought that after a couple of weeks, everything's fine because you're doing so well. I can't believe it. And so they back away, and now you're all by yourselves. And by virtue of that, realize that you now learn how to be a codependent caretaker, and you're out there taking care of people. All right? So for those of you that are thinking about dating, okay, don't date somebody who you think you need to rescue and save. Okay? Now, here's the thought that I want to you men and women to put in. Well, you women, because the men are here, are all either engaged or married. So for those of you women who are dating, there's one little thought that I want you to put in your head. Actually, 2. Thought number 1 is if they're sitting there and they're telling you their story, and it's this terrible, horrible, rotten story, and it kind of goes along with Brother Hill, what he was saying the other day is that he was a really good dad but a terrible mother, and I don't know how to do all this laundry, and I don't know how to cook all this food, and I don't know how to get him to school on time. And in your head you say, oh, I know how to fix that. Guess what that is? That's a sign that says, run! Okay, I want you to run. Okay, because what he's looking for is he's looking for somebody to come and rescue and save him. And guess what you're going to go try to do? Because why? I know how to do that. I know how to do it. I can go rescue and I can save them, and I'll race in and I'll be able to do all of these wonderful things, and his children will come and bow before me and say, oh, you are the greatest queen on the earth. The reality is they will not see you as the queen racing in to rescue them. They'll think you are the horriblest, terriblest, rottenest person, and you're here to change me. Is that okay that I tell you that? So put on your track shoes and run. And if you catch yourself doing his laundry, guess what? You're already too late. So, number one, run away. That's a red flag. Okay, the second thing. The other thing for those of you that want to date, what I ask my clients to do is never, ever, 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 within the first 3 months of dating someone, put them into a state where you're thinking, I wonder if I could marry that guy. It is not impossible. Nope. Because when you do that, you're on a very slippery slope.
So you're supposed to date people that you're not attracted to?
Nope, that's not what I said. I'm saying you date somebody that you're attracted to. 3 months. 3 months. Now here's the reason why. No, it's going to work out because you guys are happy and you've got, it's a little boy, I think. It's a little girl. Okay, it's okay to do that, but for those of you that are married, don't go back and think. But the reality is that what you should be doing the first 3 months of dating is, number one, having fun and being put into situations in which you learn who that person is. But what I find is that most people, when they lose their spouse and they start to date again, the very first thing they do is they go and think, well, I could probably marry this person. And what we find, brothers and sisters, is that we take our spouse that we were married to, we take them out of this position, we sit them over here on the mantle, and then we grab this person that I'm going to go fall in love with and marry, and I put them into that position. That's the scary part. And for those of you that are married, if you did that, okay, let me tell you what you have to do. Those of you that are engaged, let me tell you what you have to do. And so for you ladies, okay, that are dating and going to do that, I'm asking you, don't put them into that position, because now you're going out and you're having fun and you're dating now to see who they are. For those of you that are married or engaged, realize that if we did that, well, that's okay too. But what I want you to do is I want you to go and say, okay, from what Kent tells me, I can't go and plug somebody out of a position and put them in. Now, here's the hard part. The hard part is what we know is that a lot of second marriages end in divorce. What we know is that if you marry the first year, you know, after or before the first year after, 72% of the time it'll end in divorce. And it isn't because you guys aren't good people, but it's because what I just talked about, very first reason is that we pluck our spouses out and we replace them and we think they're going to be the same. They're not. The second reason isn't because of you at all, it's because of the kids. And that's why they ended 72% of the time they do. Now, what we also know is that you go down the road and you get past a year and you become comfortable with yourself and you're not anxious to marry the first person that you date, that you do open your eyes and you do see who they are, and life gets a whole lot better. It really does. It gets a whole lot better. Okay? Now, let's continue so that you can see where we want you to go. Okay, those of you that are married, those of you who are engaged, okay, what you have to do is you literally have to go and you have to see what life happens. As you guys went through life, okay, right there, you got married, you got engaged. Okay, right there, you met somebody, and they were fun, and they were attractive, and we had a good time, and so we're going to go and get married. But I want you to look at what happens. Over time, if you're not careful, what happens? You get further and further and further apart. Now, this is because you guys have written in your head a script of what life is supposed to be like. Okay, let me give you the facts first, and then I'll tell you a little story. The facts are is that from the time you're held, just about, okay, when he gets to be about the time that he starts to crawl, she starts to crawl, and that's not too far away. All of a sudden, she starts to explore her world, and her mind takes off, and it grows rapidly, rapidly. She'll learn more about life in the first 5 years of her life than she will the next 20 years of her life. But your mind goes, and it's continuing to go. The average person thinks at 400 thoughts a minute. The hour that you will be with me here today, that's 24,000 thoughts in an hour. That's 567,000 thoughts a day. The average person, they tell us, writes a 10,000-page novel every 80 hours. Do you know how many 10,000 pages is? And literally by the time a person gets to be 18 years old, they've literally written thousands of novels about everything to do with life, and you guys just keep right on writing. When you married the very first time, you have to understand you were younger. You had novels written, but it was much easier to continue writing the novels that you'd already had written because you're with somebody that's brand new and they're as young as you are. And so now what you're doing is you're writing scripts about how life ought to be. And so the next anywhere from a few years, okay, to some of you may have been married for 17, 18, 19 years. You've written scripts with that person, and you know who they are. You know how they act. You know how they react. And you know all of those things because it's written into that little script of your head. Then you go get married, and all of the scripts that you've written now aren't the same. Whoa, now what do I do? Now, there's two big problems with scripts in your head. Problem number one is 75% of what's in your head is nothing but fiction. How's that grab you? But guess how you treat it? You treat it as if it's fact. And the other part of it that's really, really hard is that we believe that everybody thinks like me. And because you think like me and you have the same script as me, then why aren't you acting and reacting, and why don't you pay the same amount of attention to things as that I do? And guess what? It doesn't happen. And so what happens now is that you've got to go and rewrite your scripts. And one of you can rewrite your script totally and go down the same script as your partner. This one here can come over and go down the same script as his partner. What I find that most people do is come in here somewhere in the middle and they rewrite their scripts and they go down that script and they go down that path together. And that's what needs to happen. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And as you're moving down that path, we're going to talk about how to get your script so that you're both on the same page. Okay, now, we're going to slip into let's blend family mode. Is that all right? Because that's why we're here. Okay, the blend family mode, and for those of you that are thinking about marriage, okay, for you that's engaged, for those of you that are thinking about dating, as you move down that road now and you find Mr. Wonderful and you find, well, the rest of you guys, you've already found Miss Wonderful, so there you go. So we're going to go down that road, we're going to find Miss Wonderful. Then the next thing that you need to do, and I'm going to speak directly to you guys, okay, because you're there, okay, the three of you, okay, these two couples and you are already there, but I want you to go and I want you to do what I'm going to tell these guys to do even though it's too late. And then I'll show you what you guys need to do. So for you guys, sometime before you get married. And I would recommend, where'd you guys come from? You're from here and you're from? So we're far apart. Does your kids know each other? Good. Okay, this is good. Okay, but the kids haven't met each other. So the very first thing that you do is you sit down together, or actually you sit down apart, because this will even be easier for you because you are apart and you got one of those long distance things going. So what you'll do is you'll sit down, and I want you to do a pro and a con list on both of your on all your children. And I want you guys to be honest with your kids. Because what you want to have happen is you want to identify the strong points of a child, you want to identify the weak points of a child, and you want to see where there's going to be conflict. You want to see where there's going to be meshing of the kids and their personalities, where it's good. Now, what happens then is you're going and you're looking, and we're just going to have some pretend stuff. Yes. That's what you're going to. Yes. Yeah. Because if you don't, it's still going to come back and bite you.
Okay.
Now, here's what you're doing. So you're over here and you're making the pros and you're making the cons and you're going down that. Now, let's pretend, and Jacob, let's pretend that when your wife passed away, your boy, how old's your boy? He's 10. It's a little 10-year-old, and he becomes so distraught with mom passing away, and life was terrible, horrible, and rotten, and somebody said to you, you know, Jacob, you ought to go get him a dog, because they attach to those animals, and they just love them, and so you went and bought your son a dog. And for the last few years, guess what his best friend is? His best friend is the dog, and it's the most wonderful thing, and he loves that dog, and it saved him, and it's his best friend. Okay, I can't see your name.
Oh, Janet.
Janet. You got a daughter over here, and how old is your daughter?
I have a boy.
Oh, you have a boy. So your boy is allergic to dogs. And he gets around dogs, and it's like, oh, I can't live, and I can't breathe, and I can't stand it, and oh, it's horrible. Now you guys get together, and you get married, and you got a 7-year-old who can't be around dogs, and he's wheezing and sneezing, and he can't breathe, and he's having to use the little inhaler thing, and life is terrible, horrible, and rotten, and you're going to have to come, Jacob, and you're going to have to say to your boy who's 10 years old, we got to get rid of your dog.
Bible's going.
Now, what did you just do?
You just ripped his life away,
and all of a sudden it takes me right back to when mom died, and not only do I hate you, but I hate that 7-year-old, and I'm going to get even. Now guess what you've got? Conflict. Okay, now let's do some more pretending. We're going to go over here, and we're going to say that you have a son that's a little bit on the OCD side. Oh, so it's your son. So your son over here is a little bit on the OCD side, okay, and he can't stand to have anything out of place, and he can't stand to have anybody touch his stuff, and he can't stand to do that, and when that happens, it produces tremendous amounts of anxiety. And you've got a little son over here. How old's your other son's?
7-year-old.
7-year-old? And he is ADHD. Okay, and he's poking and he's touching and he's grabbing, and there's your other son over here, and I don't know how old he is. How old is he? He's 7. Oh, so now 2 7-year-olds, okay? And he's got everything be perfect and everything's got to be doing, and he left to go out and be with his buddies, and while he was gone, the little ADHD thought, aha, I can go in his room and I can play. And he touches and he goes and he touches and he messes the room all up and destroys it, and he comes home. And he's going to put up with that for how long before that becomes a conflict?
Once.
It might go a little more than once, but it'll go. And it'll happen. Okay? I want you to be honest, guys, in your dialoguing things up. Because as you do, what you're going to do is you're going to look for possible conflicts. Now, I'm one that believes, okay, that with exceptions, and I'm sorry to say, it's really, really hard with the exceptions of the dogs. Okay, that's a really, really hard one I haven't figured out, because no child wants to trade their dog in for a goldfish. Doesn't work very well. But if you see there's going to be major conflicts that they're unresolvable, and I've only run into one or two, okay, that are not resolvable. Okay, one of them happened to be an animal. The other one happened to be a son that was charged with sexually molesting a little girl in this neighborhood, and he was not allowed to be around girls. And this lady was going to marry him. She had three children, and so he was not going to be able to live in the home or be around them, you know, for however long he was going to be on probation. Didn't work really well for them, and they just went down the road and decided not to get married. So there's very few, but what you do know is that if there's some problems, then what you do is you take those problems and you say, okay, when these things happen, this is what we will do. Because I'm here to tell you that if you have those little things going on in your lives, guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen. And so when you create in your mind now a solution, the solutions are taken care of before they happen. And you go and you have this little book that you've now written, because I want you to write it down in books. Okay, excellent size book right there. Hold it up so they can see. Yep, there's excellent size book. You write down, and that's your solution book, and you go to your solution book, and look, on page 87, look what we've got. Okay, and I'm not joking about that. Okay, Bridget, am I joking about that?
No, I'd say we're probably about 800.
Okay, and so the thought to you then is that as you're writing down these solutions, then what you have is you now have a way to act. Now, for those of you that are already married and are in that, guess what I need you guys to do? Okay, you need to sit down together, but I ask that you go sit down separately first, because your spouse is going to go and they're going to come up with lists of things that you wouldn't write down about your own kids. But now they've been married to you and they've lived with you for a little while, guess what? They're going to have a list of things. And you just have to be open to what they're saying. Don't be, you know,
Mama Bear, Papa Bear.
Just say, you know, we want to make this. This is what God wants us to do, and so let's move forward. But you got to list them down. You got to list them. Make sense so far? Any questions to this point?
What are some examples of solutions?
Give me.
Like the ADD. The 7-year-old with Legos, but I mean, we tried to put like one of those child locks on the door so the kids don't go in there while he's at school, but like, yeah.
They go in and break it.
He's a little ADHD child.
I wouldn't say he's
really
older than the
either.
Kids.
It's just he's older and it's his stuff.
He wants respect.
And he wants it left alone.
Yeah. And then the little kids.
So it's just little kids.
Yeah, or just, you know, if we have 2 4-year-olds and a 3-year-old, and they're all just, it looks like preschool all day, and they just go downstairs and want to rip his stuff up because it's fun.
Well, one of the things I would suggest is that you get him a lock to put on his door.
Like an actual lock?
Mm-hmm. Well, change the doorknob where it's a key lock, not a lock where the little kids can stick something in the thing and pop it open.
We were always, like, growing up, we could never have locks on our door.
Mm-hmm. But for him, realize that.
Yeah, and
that's what I was going to say. You never not just let him have the only keys. You guys have a key to it so that you can go in whenever you want. But it's something that he can lock his door and keep it that way. And it keeps the same, you know, things safe and that. If your children are a little bit on the obsessive compulsive side, realize that they worry a lot. If they have a lot of anxiety, they worry a lot and those sorts of things. There's a thing that they've discovered. I can't say I discovered, I just use it. There's some natural stuff that you buy at a health food store that you can give your child to make them so they're, well, it doesn't make them, but it helps them so they don't worry as much. It's called inositol, spelled I-N-O-S-I-T-O-L. And all inositol is just magnesium, but the magnesium that it's made out of is closely resembles your nervous system. And they find that if you take about 2,000 milligrams of inositol, that it helps. And so what you have to look at, though, is that you give them 500 milligrams a day for a week, and then you bump it up after the first week to 2,000 milligrams every day, and usually you'll see a big difference after about 3 weeks. You also understand that you don't give them 2,000 at the beginning, because that if you know that magnesium is nature's laxative, and so their body is getting used to it, and then you bump it up, and they do really, really well. And it calms them down, so they're not as irritable and they're not as worried about their stuff and that sort of thing.
In that field, real quick, what's an acceptable time that, say, he's 8 years old, he wants to go play with his Legos, he doesn't want his little brothers or sister, because she's a terror when she comes in, to destroy him, he wants to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
What's an acceptable amount of time that he can be alone? You don't want him locking himself in there all day, every day.
He will just go in his room all day by himself.
He's like me. He's kind of, being a hermit's not a big deal. But I don't want him to avoid the family.
What we suggest, and I say we, it's just, you know, things that we do, is that a child gets, if they need the alone time, that they have alone time about an hour a day at that age, at 8. As they get to be 10, you bump it up a little bit, 12 to 16, a little bit, but never over 3 hours a day do we want them to be alone. We don't want children to be inside or playing their video games or doing those things, you know, much more than that. You know, it's not healthy for their growth there. Okay, so far so good? Okay. Next thing, and I don't even know, I'm not even following my format, sorry. Oops, don't even have a copy. Okay, stages of blending the family. Okay, next thing you got to do for you guys, now we're back to you guys, okay? Are your children starting to accept the fact that their mom and dad are going to get married? Okay, now where you live in Maryland and you live here in Utah, somebody's got to move. Oh, you're both moving. Where are we going? Whoa, that's a blessing that you guys were able to do that. That doesn't happen very often.
Military.
So there we go. So that's you guys are blessed, okay, to be able to do that. And your kids may be a little bit more, unless you were a military wife. But it's but it is one of those things, is that you're coming together, and the reality now is that everybody gets to sacrifice. Now, the hard part for those of you that don't have that added benefit, that is actually a benefit to you guys to be able to do that. Because everybody's sacrificing, everybody in the kid's mind is losing, and now you're going to come together and then you're going to bring it all together. And so that actually is a positive for you guys. For the rest of you, I don't know how it all happened. Can you?
I moved into his house. So, because his divorce decree stated that church attendance at the home ward could be contested if he left his home and purchased a new home. So, I made the concession to move into his house. And that has been so hard to move on to marked territory. Really, really hard.
Just say it a little louder so they...
Yeah, really hard. Don't do that.
I did start it out that way. I did the same thing. We only last
year,
but anyway, yeah, that is hard to move into a small territory.
We did it for a few months
until we could find a house that would fit all of us. But it was hard because it was all of his kids' toys, his kids' house. And I didn't feel at home because I was in his late wife's kitchen doing, you know, cooking on her pans and pots. And we had to do that for a month. We wanted to make sure that I could have lived away from him for a few months, but we didn't want to do that.
No.
It's hard. But once we got the new house for everybody, we're still in the same city as he lived before, but it's completely different. Our kids, they had their own spaces. It was much better.
Yeah. Okay, now, most plans, I don't know, can you guys, would you share?
He had just moved from Indiana, Idaho, and we met 6 weeks later. So he wasn't really settled in the house. And then,
yeah, it was a new house for us, too.
So. So that moved into your home?
No, I moved into his home.
Oh.
With my kids. But our kids blended immediately. They love each other. I mean, the hard thing is the kids blending with me more. That was the hardest, which is starting to get better. But That was the boy sharing, the girl sharing. My older boy has his own room, so. And they're all swaps, so it didn't matter. They're teenagers, so. Their rooms are always a mess, so we don't have to worry about the OCD thing.
Okay, so now let's go back to what we need to do, because you guys really aren't the example. You really aren't the example, and I'm sorry, you're stuck with one exception. Okay, but you are stuck with one exception.
Which I have actually looked into doing that, living separately and just
too much, man. Not one that I'd recommend. That's just the beginning to the end. Okay, but normally what these guys went through and experienced is what normal is. Okay, is that you go, you get married, and you got to go figure it out, and you got to be able to do, and most of the time you don't have the time. Sometimes you don't have the money to just go able to go out and buy a house and do those sorts of things. And so usually what happens is you move into one another's houses. What you have to look at, guys, is that when you do that, the kids that are going to move into the house, they're going to see that home as not my home, and it's a bad territory, and I'm not going to like it. The kids that are already living there, you're going to have those kids move in, and you guys are invading my space, and now you're in my space, and I don't like you because of that. And so, like these guys did, they went down the road, they did what they had to do, and then they went out and sounds like you purchased another house. For you, read the divorce decree really, really close and see if you can still live in the same ward. If you can live in the same ward, then what I'd recommend you guys to do is to go buy a house in that ward, okay, that you can live in.
There has only been one house that came up in the last 3 years, and it wouldn't fit 6 kids.
And the other thing then, go and see if there's any land that you could build a house. Come in. Yep, slide back, push the circle back, sway back. Okay, and if you have to say the word. So, the thing that you look at now is that you go and you're going to do that. Now, there's only one recommendation that I have for you is this, okay? Try not to move a junior and a senior out of their high school. Okay? If you have to, go find a house in the same school so those kids can go to the same school as the junior and senior in high school. It really makes a difference to them. Number two, and then I'll let you visit. Number two is try to move them at the end of the school year. Okay, what we know by the research is that when you move a child during a school year, it'll set them back for 6 months in their schooling. That's the research. Okay, so you had a comment.
Well, you had mentioned at the beginning that the older the kids get, the harder it is mm-hmm. for them to blend. And basically, in a sense, you're really not going to have a blended family. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's really where I'm looking at going, because I have one at home still that's 16. But after that, they're all out of the house. Mm-hmm. Son coming back off mission and back and forth, and one daughter already married. And I'm dating somebody that's also got... his daughter's a senior, getting ready to go, same thing. And so what are your suggestions there? Because we both will have grandkids. He's already got grandkids. I'm going to have grandkids. We're both going to want to see kids and have families and have things together and do things. But I agree with you. I sense and already feel how hard that can be, and that once your kids are adults, they may like me and they may like him, but they're not going to blend. They're not going to ever be.
No.
And I don't want them to necessarily feel like they have to blend. But I would want to, I don't know.
Yep, I understand. Can you?
Is that a whole other session?
Nope, that's not another session, but it's about 10 minutes. Well, we're going to have to go faster. It's about 4 more minutes into the session. Is that okay? Because we want to get to that. So what I'm suggesting you do is, if you got these kids and they're older, then please move them and do what you have to do for the older kids. If they're like you, if it's possible that one of those two children can drive to their other school, you just don't want them to lose their friends. You just don't want them to lose that connection that is so vital to those older teenagers. Okay, sorry to tell you this, but after 14, your influence diminishes drastically, and their friends are really the ones that are there. Yes.
So what is your suggestion as far as like waiting until you get married? I have a senior this coming year. Mm-hmm. I have a year. Would it be better to try to date for that year until he gets out of school?
That would be great. And not to embarrass you, but the hardest part is the hormones. And I don't recommend anybody that's getting really close to go down that road for a year, because you'll get goofed up and then there's all kinds of things to do. And I'm not one to do that, but if he's close enough that he can drive, yeah, buy him a car. Oh, you're in separate states. Is there a grandfather, a grandmother, an aunt, or an uncle?
Close. And I own my home, so I could leave him. I mean, I could try to split my difference, try to make that work, but, leaving a 17-year-old home alone. Basically.
No, you never ever leave him home alone. He'd be with grandpa and grandmother, but I would sit down with him and explain to him and see what he would want to do. And then what I'd also say then is, if you're going to be in different states, that you plan on coming home every month for a week. And that's just something that you guys will have to figure out financially how to do that. But then you come back and stay with mom and dad, if that's what he chooses to do. But you may have a son that's very understanding, says, "Oh, sure, I'll go."
Yeah, he's already said that he's only been to one school.
Yeah, and it's really, really hard for him. So, question?
Yeah, question. So, what is the average dating time when you have children? And you do feel like you
want to
get married.
What is the average dating time?
Like, what's too soon and what's really too long? I mean, what's putting your kids through too long of a dating, and what's too soon of dating for your kids?
Okay.
Knowing that there could be possible siblings that you're putting back into your house, or.
Yeah, there really, to be honest with you, there really is no time. What I recommend to people when they're dating, okay, you're going to go down this road and you're going to date. The very first thing you need to do before you even start to date is you need to throw at your children that I'm going to start to date. And you give them time to wrap their head around it.
Yeah, my kids are like, come meet me.
Yes, that's good. So now they've given you permission, and now you go date. And my next thing to you is don't introduce those people to your children's lives until you know it's serious. When you know it's serious, then introduce those people into your children's lives and let them know that it's serious. And then what you're doing now is you're pushing and you're saying, I'm dating and I'm serious and I'm really thinking about getting married, but you're not engaged yet. Now what you've done is you've opened your children's mind up, and they're going to go and they're going to do whatever they're going to do. And some kids just accept it. Some kids are going to be mad and angry, and they're going to rant and rave for a little while, but they're still wrapping their heads around it over the next little while. And when you feel things have calmed down, then you go and you get engaged. But please let your children be part of that. Okay? I encourage dads, I encourage you to go ask the kids permission to date their mom. Now, they're going to give you everything from, you bet, go do it, or to, from, I don't care, to, what? No, you're not going
to
do that.
To date or marry?
To marry. And you have to understand, whatever they say is okay. Don't take offense if they say no. The reality is, it's not their choice. It's your choice. Okay? It's not their choice. And they will get going down that road, but because you're introducing it and you're suggesting it and you're doing those things, then you know what kind of battle you've got to battle. Yes?
Why do you ask permission? Because then if they say no, then you're basically giving yourself
permission. It's letting them be part of the process. It's a respect thing that says, I have enough respect for you that I'm going to come and ask you.
It's letting them have their sustaining boot. Against
the No, you just say, well, sorry.
Yeah, you do kind of say, I'm sorry. But now what it is that you're going in and you understand that you're going in with a battle. And that changes the battle. Because some people, when the kid says no, well, I'm going to force you to like me and you're going to call me mom. No, I'm not. I'm going to tell you what I think about you, and I'm going to create hell in your life. And I'm going to do that every chance I get. But now it changes the battle of what you're doing. And what have I got to do to overcome their animosity towards me? I have to help them understand that I'm really not going to be their mom. I'm just there as their friend. Okay? So that's where you go. Jake, you had a question.
I had all three of that experience. I kept them informed and kind of talked to them and all the way from, yes, I'm going to create a profile for you to, you know, I don't care, whatever, to, you know, a little bit of resistance, but all of them have kind of come to the full circle and they're just fine with it. But like you said, I just kept them informed. They didn't have a vote, but they had their way to say things and kind of kept me informed as to, you know, how I needed to talk about it.
Yep.
I told my older kids that I wanted their opinion. I wanted them to meet him. I wanted their opinion. But that wasn't going to change my opinion. I would take their thoughts into effect, but I would still make my own choice.
Mm-hmm. So, it's just keeping them informed. They really do appreciate you letting them be part of the process. So continue to do that. Okay, now we just got minutes because then our time is up. Doesn't this get over at 3:30? Somebody help me, because we got to go fast now. Now, the thought then says the next thing in line is that you got to go and you need to have rules and you have to have boundaries that the kids need to learn to live in. Have the same rules for both sets of children. Okay? One set of children and the other set of children, you got to have the same rules. Okay? I recommend that you go and you have the same rules and you also have the same punishments. You sit the children down. You have a little family meeting. You have already decided what the rules are going to be, and you've decided what the punishments are going to be, and then you guide the children to come up with the same rules.
So I ran into this with someone that I dated. So there's no sleepovers with one set of kids, and the other set of kids could always have sleepovers. So
you got to go with one or the other.
So all of a sudden, the kids that were allowed to have sleepovers then do not get to have sleepovers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or the other way around.
Or the other way around. But the reality is that
the other one's just not going to concede and say, "Oh, yeah, my girl."
No, because you got to come together as a couple. You have to come together as a couple because you can't do that. Now, in the Allen family, my children never, ever, ever had sleepovers. They had late nights, but they never had sleepovers because of what I do for a living. Okay, back when my kids were old enough to have sleepovers, I worked with nothing but sexual abuse. Guess where most sexual abuse takes place? On sleepovers. Guess who is the most person to have a sexual offense? Brothers and stepbrothers. And individuals who their friends are bringing in for sleepover the same time my kids are sleeping over the girls. This guy comes in with the boys, and that's where most sexual abuse takes place. My family never, ever had sleepovers because of that. My children were mad at me all the time, but I can almost guarantee that when my children, their children reach ages to have sleepovers, guess what won't happen? They won't have them either. Okay? I did, but they didn't like it. They still battled me weekly.
So there's going to be other examples, not just that one, but other examples of what kids have been able to do and what kids weren't able to do. And so,
yeah.
Even with how young our kids are, we still have that, but we've had to come together.
Mm-hmm. You have to come together. And as you guys come together, you guide the children. They take a vote on it, realize that you guys, even though you may be 2 in 8, is that right? To make kids, so that's 8 kids, yeah. So there's 2 of you and there's 8 of them, okay. Now you still have triple the votes, okay. And so we win, and you always outvote. And then you'd say, okay, what's the punishments going to be? And now you have the punishments, and everybody gets punished the same, okay. Now that takes you to the next thing. The spouse's children, they're over their own children for the punishment.
You know, what do we do with the stay-at-home moms that are with the other kids all day?
If it's something that's protecting them, you have to take charge. If it's something that can wait, you're going to have to wait till dad comes home. Okay. That's what you have to do in this case.
Even with a 4-year-old, are they going to forget that, you know, that, like,
you're right then? Your 4-year-old's, no, that's a little different. And anybody under four realize that not very many people have memories much until they're later in their four and then 5 years. Most everybody really, I don't know how many have had memories of being 4 years old. Okay, I don't know very, I know one or two people with memories of three.
So like our little ones that probably don't remember their...
They're fine.
We can parent them like...
Your eight-year-old though, guess what?
Yeah.
Don't know, it's your eight-year-old? The eight-year-old, you need to come home, Dad, and have those things that happen.
We've kind of molded towards that way.
We can FaceTime at work.
But the teenage kids, yeah, got to do that. But it's the same for everybody. Gets the same thing. Okay, now back to you. Okay, for those of you that have older children and you're teenagers, and in time, you guys are getting along great, so that may never ever happen. But what we find, guys, is that when you have older children, they really do not want to blend the family. And so what you have to do is you have to go and say, okay, we've got to change it up. And you have two things that I'd encourage you to do, okay? The very first thing that I encourage you to do is that what you do is you have your times like Christmas and Valentine's Day, and not Valentine's Day, but Thanksgiving, major holidays and stuff. You may have a regular Sunday dinner that you're going to have. What I recommend that you do there is you invite, and whoever comes, it's great. Okay, you invite, and whoever comes, it's great. And then what you have to do is you don't get disappointed because they don't come. Okay, that's really, really hard to do, especially if you're the mom and you think I got to make all this thing and you're my family, you're my people, and you've got this little thought going in your head that you got to save and you got to rescue everybody. I'm sorry, you got to just be able to accept what you get and be grateful. If you find that all of a sudden that some holidays, some come and some don't come, and you see that there's definitely a group that's not coming, you go to them and say, we see that you're not coming. Is it because you don't want to blend the families? And they'll go, yeah, that's why. They'll tell you most of the time. And then when those kinds of things happen, then what you need to do is you need to be able to provide times for them. And yes, it makes you go the extra mile. But if you want relationships with those children, you have to create the other times. Now, I do not have a blended family. But then again, I want you to know that I do have a blended family. Because every one of my children have grown up and they got married. And it is. It's just like in-law stuff. And every other year I get them for Thanksgiving, and every other year I get them for Christmas. I hate it. Every other year I get them for Mother's Day, and every other year I get them for Father's Day. And me and my wife, we don't like to compete. Okay? You will be a little different, but for me, every other year, for Christmas Eve, I do something different the week before. And I hold a time that I'm with those children that are off with the other families. That's what I do. Every other Thanksgiving, we have Thanksgiving the Sunday before Thanksgiving at our house for those kids that are going to be gone for Thanksgiving. Okay, we do something weird. Okay, for Easter, because my wife has this great big thing where we've always done Easter egg hunts because that's what her mother did, and I think her mother before her, and her mother before her, and her mother before here. And so my wife wanted to have these things, and literally it was one of those things where it was destroying my wife. And so 3 years ago I said to her, we're not going to compete anymore. The Saturday before the true Easter, what we're going to do is we're going to go and invite all of the in-laws, okay, and all of the in-laws' children and all of their children. And we actually had 112 people at our place this year, and we had a big Easter egg hunt. Cost me a minor fortune to do that, but man, it was fun. And we had a good time, and we didn't have to compete. Okay? And so what you're doing now, guys, is you're trying to do the very best you can. And the secret is to invite as the kids get older. And for those older kids, the ones that come, it's great. And then you try to slip it around for the others. Okay? Okay, sorry, our time is shot.